Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise, education, healthcare, every vertical possible. In this show, we talk about how Apple is on the rise and doing well in all those verticals. Today, obviously, I'm Bradley Chambers. I am your host. And today I have Josh Stein and Patrick Wardle from Jamf. And we're here to talk about Mac security. So, Josh, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bradley. Stoked to be on to talk nerdy with you about all things macOS security trends in the enterprise.
So, Patrick, what do you do at Jamf?
I am a principal security researcher at Jamf. Predominantly work on analyzing new threats, computer viruses, malware targeting macOS, and building our endpoint security product, Jamf Protect.
So you really must be bored because there are no viruses on Mac. So you must just sit around all day long doing nothing, right?
Well, if we listen to Apple, that's what they seem to be telling us. But as you all know, that's really not the reality. And I'm sure we'll get into this more, but as Macs become more prevalent in the enterprise, we're definitely seeing an uptick in both the number of attacks and also the sophistication of attacks. So the opposite of bored, I would say.
Josh, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Jamf.
Sure, absolutely. I am the Director of Product Strategy on Jamf Protect, the product that Patrick does the security research for, and really just keeping an eye on the Mac security landscape and attempting to give our users the best and most purpose-built experience to protect their macOS endpoints.
So it's interesting. Mac security is something that's, it's been talked about for the last 15 years. So the whole thing is Macs don't get viruses because they're small. Then people would say Macs don't get viruses because they're more secure. And obviously, like, we've come a long way in the industry in terms of overall security. I mean, I think we all still are triggered back to, like, Windows XP Service Pack 1 days where a computer could just be on the internet and be attacked. Things have changed a lot since then. And I would say, like, in my day-to-day experience, the vast majority of, and I wouldn't even call them viruses, but they're malware, are things that end users install and are accidental. It's a lot of times it's like it's Chrome extensions that kind of take over. They've installed a configuration profile they didn't, they shouldn't have. They've clicked on a Flash pop-up that says they need to update their Flash. It's like those kind of things that we see. But I think it is clear that Mac usage in the enterprise is certainly on the rise. You guys have a stat that you put out through a survey that 74% of organizations that are predominantly Mac users say they will increase the device count of their organization. And then 65% of organizations with predominantly non-Mac users say they will also increase their Mac device makeup. So I think it's just clear that really across so many verticals, Apple is doing very well. And even in healthcare, not necessarily with the Mac, but then even like the iPad is doing very, very well in healthcare. And so talk to us about the trends you guys have seen with the growth of Macs across various verticals.
Yeah, so certainly we've seen that increasing growth that matches those stats that you said there, the 74% and 65% plan to add more, right? And as Apple addresses the enterprise and grows into the enterprise even more, of course, Jamf kind of grows with them. And we also like to think that Jamf as well starts to enable some of that, fill some of those gaps in the enterprise to allow for Apple to continue that enterprise growth. So we continue to see Apple usage and Mac usage on the rise within the enterprise. And with it, as Patrick said, from a security standpoint, we again see and with increased adoption comes increased opportunity. And as you said, increased, perhaps user error. And as there is, continues to be user error and continues to be opportunity with the growth and explosion of Mac in the enterprise, the opportunity there for attackers makes it a much more targeted environment or a much more fruitful target as we go. But Patrick probably has a lot more to say on that topic as we get into it. But certainly, we're tracking the growth, and we are seeing a lot of Apple growth in the enterprise, for sure, across all of the different sectors, whether it's schools, hospitals, or, your traditional enterprise.
Patrick, Josh makes up a great point about just, like, the number of devices is growing, and I think it's different than if you drive more miles in a day, you're going to statistically have more car accidents, you have the chance to. And I think that that's the kind of that where Apple is running into, is when they're putting so many more devices, there are more opportunities for just malware and things like that. What kind of trends are you seeing with Mac malware at the moment?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I really liked your analogy there, where basically anytime any platform becomes more prevalent, you know, more hours logged on it, let's say, it's more likely to, you know, be targeted by very opportunistic attackers. You know, just to kind of step back and notice the fact that as Mac becomes more prevalent in the enterprise, as Josh said and you alluded to as well, adversaries are taking note. Enterprises, from a financial point of view, if we put our hacker hat on, it's a very target-rich environment. So it's really unsurprising to see an increase in attacks. So the question then becomes, what are the trends? What are we seeing specifically? And you know, there's a few main trends. You kind of mentioned adware. We see that becoming ever more prolific. I think it was Malwarebytes had some research that actually on their endpoints, they are seeing more Mac attacks, adware, potentially one of products, malware, et cetera, even compared to their Windows endpoints. So that's kind of an interesting statistic. And so adware, I think, is probably the most common, let's say, attack that the average user or even the enterprise user might notice. There are various reasons for this. First and foremost, it's financially motivated. Adware is a great way for adversaries to make a lot of money. So it makes sense to just target as many individuals as you can. Also, the mechanisms that adware uses to generally get on a system requires user interaction. That makes it very visible for us security tools to pick up on. So there's always this kind of chicken or the egg problem is, you know, are there other threats we're not seeing, or is adware just the easiest to detect, or is adware also the most common one out there? I think it's probably a combination thereof. So definitely seeing trends in adware. You know, I think Apple has done a really good job with introducing notarization recently, because in a nutshell, what notarization does is ensures that only software scanned and approved by Apple can run on recent versions of macOS. So even if a user is tricked into installing what they believe is a required Flash Player update, which we all know is going to be adware, and double clicks on it, the operating system can say, hey, I'm going to block this because even though you're trying to run this, this hasn't been scanned and approved by Apple. So I think in the future, we'll see the amount of adware hopefully be reduced, let's say. You know, it's never fully going to go away. So that's one big trend. We're also, though, seeing the sophistication of attacks increase in the last year or two. So we're seeing the utilization of zero-day exploits. We're seeing, for example, the first true in-the-wild, let's say, computer virus targeting macOS that once it got on the system would actually infect other binaries. And so I think attackers, as Apple increases the kind of baked in or baseline security of macOS, are being forced to evolve and increase their the skill and sophistication of their attacks. So again, it's always going to be a cat and mouse game. And as the bar is raised from Apple's point of view, attackers are going to have to respond. So that's another trend we're definitely seeing. The last trend we're seeing is the fact that a lot of Windows-based attacks or techniques are kind of being ported over to macOS. This is also unsurprising. Attackers have had a lot of success on the Windows platform. They're very familiar with that. They know, for example, users will open Office documents containing malicious macros. As Macs become more prevalent in the enterprise and Microsoft products as well, attackers say, hey, why don't we just take our Windows-based attack vectors, for example, malicious Office documents, kind of repackage them up, add some Mac-specific logic, and now we can, you know, target Mac users around the world. So we're definitely seeing those trends as well. Again, as, or I would argue, in a direct response to the prevalence or increase of growth of Macs, especially in the enterprise.
Well, and that's kind of that cat and mouse game. It really ends up affecting IT administrators as well, because I mean, every year, I mean, there the past few years with macOS, there's been these like ever stricter security challenges. A good example is I was working on someone's computer over the weekend, and they had upgraded to Catalina, and they ran into an issue with Adobe Premiere, and they couldn't get any of their Premiere documents to open. Well, so I just said, hey, look, let's just roll you back to Mojave. You've got a backup. Let's wipe the computer. We'll just put you back the way you were before. Nothing in Catalina is necessarily going to help you with Adobe. So I roll them back, and I realize, and they can't get on their media server at that point. And this is like an enterprise office, and it's using a 10 gig connection, and it's one of the older Mac Pros. So it's just wired up into Ethernet, or it's coming in over Thunderbolt. And so I spent a good hour and a half troubleshooting why they couldn't get on their 10 gig server. Can you, either of you guys, guess why I could not get on their 10 gig server?
Well, I remember Apple once blacklisted their own Ethernet driver. So that would be
it's a third party Ethernet driver. So there's your hint. Okay. So why couldn't I get on the media server after restoring?
Was it using a kernel extension that wasn't notarized, perhaps?
And I had to go in there and manually allow it, even though it was restoring from a backup of the machine where it was working. I then had to again go accept it, tell the security preferences, like, you can allow this to run.
Frustrating.
It took an hour and a half for me. And obviously, like, that's my fault for not remembering that or checking that. But that's one of the cat and mouse games where, like, this is me with one thing. Those kind of problems at scale are like super frustrating for IT people. But then on the flip side, like, if it makes it more secure, you kind of are like, we're all balancing, like with Apple and IT, you're balancing the security with like ease of use and like trying to find the balance. And some years that kind of shifts in others. And Apple, it seems like in the past 3 years specifically, has really been ratcheting up the security, much to the frustration of IT people. But on the flip side, it kind of coincides with this Mac growth in the enterprise. And it seems like Apple is trying to get out ahead of a lot of this. You guys put out a survey, and we'll link to the survey that I thought it was pretty interesting. Said 79% of Mac users say its perceived security reputation affects their purchasing decisions, and 50% of organizations that are primarily non-Mac users agree. And I think it's pretty interesting that here we are in 2020, and the Mac looks to be statistically the most secure device for the enterprise. And
I was just going to say, you know, it's very interesting, and that dovetails exactly to what you're saying. I think there's another statistic that says, you know, 77% of those organizations view it as the most secure out of the box as well, right? And that really goes to hand in hand with, you know, exactly what you're saying, this balance between the user experience and the out-of-the-box security mechanisms that are at play, right? Security, as they ratchet that up in the enterprise, you're starting to see some of the enterprise growth, but you're still trying to keep that flavor of, you know, the product that the end users know and love. That leads all these individuals to want to use Mac in the first place. So that's a really interesting take on that balance. And I think the numbers start to bear that out, that as you start to see some of these sort of enterprise security requirements or privacy requirements, Apple's very big on putting the end user's privacy first. And when you start to see some of these privacy controls come in, especially to control, you know, they may have an adverse effect on some of the initial user experience. But once you get that all loaded and working properly, it is considered to be one of the best user experiences. And that leads to that user demand, that enterprise growth, where it's really user demand led, where the users want to use the devices that they know and love, carry an iPhone around everywhere, right? That leads to wanting that same experience on the Mac, carries to really this exponential growth in the enterprise that you see. But like you called out, you really want to have that balance of security and usability as you move forward.
Yeah, and that's really tough. I'm definitely not jealous of the job Apple has, because generally speaking, usability and security are at different ends of the spectrum. And Bradley, as you mentioned, the goal is finding that balance. And you say it definitely kind of maybe tips one side to the other. And I think we're seeing Apple almost somewhat of a pendulum effect go towards the more security side of the house. A great example is the deprecation of kernel extensions. I would say any security researcher will say that is a good idea. It reduces the attack surface, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, though, as you just noted in personal experience, there's issues then with using legitimate third-party software. Others examples are, you know, recent things with notarization or system extensions in a non-managed environment. There's a lot of prompts now that users have to click through, sometimes three or four. And, you know, you might say, wouldn't one just be enough? So I think Apple's also maybe figuring out that best balance that provides the continues to provide the user experience that everyone loves on the Mac, where things generally just work. And there's not a lot of annoying prompts that you have to go through. But at the same time, figuring out ways to, as you mentioned, kind of maybe get ahead of some of these security risks or provide a out-of-the-box experience that is very secure. So finding that balance is a very difficult job. I think Apple's doing overall a great job, although we might see, you know, maybe shift a little bit back to usability because it seemed to go, seems that we're shifting a little bit away from that, which is interesting.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned earlier is about the privacy aspect of the Mac. And I think that's something that people are can appreciate if they understand how Apple's configured it. And that's a question I get often. People say, hey, if I install this configuration profile on my Mac or on my iPhone for my company, does that mean they can read my text messages? And that's a legitimate question. And if you don't aren't in the industry, you sort of would figure, yeah, they can. But the cool thing is they can't. I mean, like I have devices that are supervised and I have no ability to see their photos or the messages, nor would I want to, nor does anybody need to see that. Now you could argue that the fact that iMessage is end-to-end encrypted is a business compliance issue. And like, I would agree with that. Like businesses shouldn't be conducting businesses over iMessage. As great as I love the services, the privacy aspect of it is a could be a legal issue if you have to kind of prove things in court in the future, or like if using your email, you can archive it, things like that. But like, I think that makes it, the Mac is a better experience when it's hardened than a PC is. And I think that's a key thing for end user satisfaction. And one of the things that like the way Apple has kind of evolved how security products should work, they're meant to work in conjunction with the system, still provide a great end user experience, but then still remain secure. Because you guys have a stat, so 71% of Mac say the Mac delivers better end user satisfaction with all the security tools active. And it's like for me, like my Mac at my office is enrolled into Jamf School. Like I came from, and I could obviously withdraw it and have like kind of, you know, unfettered access and can do whatever I wanted. But like, it just is nice that I can know I can push out policies and my Mac is, you know, receiving those just the same, but like I never know that it's there. And that's really the goal of security software and configuration profiles with Indium, is that it keeps a device in compliance, but the end user doesn't feel the effects. Like we remember from the old PC days where you install the antivirus and it sucked up 20% of your resources day one. You guys can remember the old spinning hard drives, 512 megs of RAM. I mean, it's like, it was like, you know, it's like atrocious. It was atrocious. Now, I will say personally, one of the things I really appreciate about the Mac from like a malware perspective versus a PC, Macs that get malware, when I clean them, and I use Malwarebytes on occasion to, you know, to clean up a computer for people, you feel like it's clean. Where a PC gets kind of pretty in bad, infected with malware, you're thinking, I'm going to need to reinstall Windows here. And it's really, you know, we all, it's like, I've been running the same Mac OS install for the gosh, 5 or 6 years. In the PC world, you'd never do that. You like, one of the things you always want to do is kind of get fresh. And I think that's just one of the reasons that people really trust the Mac and the enterprise, is because even if it does get a batch of malware, it's somewhat trivial to get clean and to get it back out. What do you guys, what are your thoughts on, from a, you know, we're kind of coming into a place where macOS Big Sur could be out anytime. What are your thoughts on security updates and you know, day one installations of big OS upgrades in the enterprise? Is that something an organization should do or have to do, or should they maybe delay that to ensure compatibility?
I'll answer that. You know, when people often ask me, what's the number one thing you can do to protect your Mac? I always say, make sure you're running the latest version of the operating system with all patches applied. This is for two main reasons. First, especially when we're talking about major OS upgrades, for example, Big Sur, Catalina, those kind of releases, Apple builds in, bakes in a lot of new security mechanisms that a lot of times are not backwards ported to the older versions of the operating system. So by installing those operating system upgrades, you get all this kind of like free security from Apple baked in out of the box. So that's one really good thing, one really good reason to upgrade basically as soon as possible. The other thing is, again, these wily opportunistic hackers are taking the patches and the updates and are reverse engineering them to figure out what was patched. A lot of times public vulnerabilities are patched, but a lot of times private vulnerabilities are patched as well. By diffing these patches or reverse engineering them, the hackers and the adversaries now have a mechanism to target unpatched users. So it's really, in a way, kind of a race against the clock. So that's why I believe it's imperative that enterprise and even end users upgrade as soon as possible. Now, in our surveys, we definitely saw that Mac users in general are pretty quick about rolling out patches, which is a really positive thing, especially from a security point of view. But we also saw there were some reasons for concern, and the biggest reasons were compatibility, which is understandable. But what was also interesting is the fact that if we break down and take a closer look at what the concerns about compatibility are, a lot of times it tracks back to the security tools, the third-party security tools that they have installed on their Mac. And this is really unfortunate. It's almost a disservice that the security industry has maybe fallen into, and the fact that if security tools are preventing upgrades because of incompatibilities with new versions, that is blatantly inexcusable, right? A security tool is supposed to increase the security of a system, not decrease it. And by preventing upgrades, it's definitely preventing or reducing, in my opinion, the security of the system. So we look into a little bit why. Again, a lot of traditional security tools had their foundations in Windows. The companies that create those tools say, hey, we're seeing more Macs in the enterprise, let's build a Mac version of our tool. And they might just port their Windows version over and not really build it from the ground up with Mac, and Apple frameworks and compatibility. So they're going to run into some compatibility issues there, especially in terms of OS upgrades. Also, if security tools are using deprecated technology, like kernel extensions are a big one, they're going to run into compatibility issues as well. So what we passionately believe that is if you create a Mac security tool that is built from the ground up with Apple frameworks, Apple APIs, and you pay attention to Apple's messaging, like, hey, kernel extensions are going away. Don't use a kernel extension. And instead utilize their new, for example, endpoint security frameworks, system extensions. Really, you can provide day zero support fairly easily. So I think it's imperative for any security tool that's running on the Mac really provide that day zero support because, again, I said this a few times, if you are preventing the enterprise or the system from being able to upgrade to Apple's latest version of their software, you're actually negatively impacting the security posture. So Josh, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but that's really my kind of opinion on upgrading and security tool compatibility and day zero support.
Yeah, absolutely. And beyond the security implications, right? It goes hand in hand with the end user experience, right? Oftentimes the latest operating system has the bells and whistles that your users want. You want them upgraded. So not only do you have a security aspect where it's a kind of a no-brainer to make sure you can get updated, but you want to give your users that greatest and latest user experience as well. I've got Big Sur at home. Why can't I have it at work, right? So that's another side effect of this. And you've seen Apple put a lot of effort into trying to make this even easier for vendors to support, like Patrick said, with things like the endpoint security framework, network extensions frameworks, et cetera, where they're really incentivizing vendors to adopt some of these newer frameworks that should, in theory, make it easier to have this day zero support as we move forward as well.
Well, it's been a kind of fascinating discussion. And the point about the security tools locking compatibility with a new one really defeats the purpose of these security tools. That's a it's a fantastic point, and you really had to consider that. Guys, thanks for coming on the show. We'll have a link to that survey in the show notes. As always, if you're not subscribed, you're listening on the web, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Josh, Patrick, again, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll chat again soon. And we're out.
Thanks for having us.